When I say the words American flag, what thoughts come to your mind? I'm sure if I were to go around and privately ask each of you, you would have maybe some different thoughts on that topic. And some of you may have thoughts that are emotionally charged. And why is that? Well, because we have an attachment, don't we? We identify with this country, with the land that we live in. I'm pretty sure that all of us here have been born in the USA, as Bruce Springsteen used to say. Anybody here not born in this country? B-Rad, you were Canada, right? I know Emmy, I was thinking of Emmy. Emmy was born in the Philippines. But even if you weren't born in this country, you still identify, don't you, with this country. Well, today I'm going to talk about our identity. I'm not going to talk about our identity as Americans, but our identity as Christians. In other words, what does it mean for us to have our identity in Christ? I think that many of us, and I raise my hand, as Christians can not think about this, not know this, not understand this enough. And so we may have what we might call an identity crisis. I think many of us may fall into that category. It's interesting that one of the most frequently used phrases of the Apostle Paul is that little phrase, two words, in Christ, or in Him, or in God. You find it so often in Paul's letters. And why do you think Paul wanted to hammer home this truth that the believers must understand their identity, that they are in Christ, to the first century believers? Well, perhaps they had an identity crisis as well and weren't aware of it. I want to look today, the first verse I'd like us to look at comes out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. And kind of use this as a springboard for a new series that we're going to begin, again, about our identity in Christ. And this is what Paul says here. He says to the believers, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." And so the first question that needs to be asked is this: are you in Christ? Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you trusted in Christ to cleanse you of all of your sins and to pull you out of the clutches of Satan and out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of light? Have you been transferred from one kingdom to the other? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you been made new by the power of God? That's the first question. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Here's a famous in Christ verse from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look at that one as well. Again, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," there's that phrase again, "he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new is come." And this is how we need to see ourselves as believers. There's something old in me that's passed away, and something new that has come. A change has taken place in my life. You may be here today and you may say, "Well, but Pastor, you know, really what needs to change? Because, you know, I grew up in the church, and you know, I really didn't get into, you know, drugs and sexual immorality, and you know, I didn't even get caught up in swearing like all my friends. I didn't get caught up in even watching inappropriate movies. I've really just lived a good, clean life." Well, yes, even you need to come to that place where you need to have a change in your life, because even if you stayed away from those, quote, blatant sins, guess what? There's still sin that you need to turn from. There's still sin that you need to see as ugly in the eyes of God that you need to turn from and you need to change. One of the things that Jesus constantly tried to get across to the religious leaders of his day was the need for change. The need to come to him first of all and then allow God to change them. And as you see Jesus speak to the Pharisees, You find him say things like this. Hey, you guys, you know, the outside of the cup, the outside of the dish is clean, but guess what? The inside is, it's filthy. And so what you need to do is you need to first clean up the inside, and then the outside will also be clean. And what he was getting at was this. Hey, you Pharisees, you may have never committed murder or adultery, but if you would look inside your heart, you know what you'd find? You'd find lust. You'd find greed. You'd find self-centeredness. You'd find pride. You'd find jealousy and envy and all these things that you need to see are ugly in the sight of God, filthy in the sight of God. And so you need to turn away from those things. So Jesus conveyed to the Pharisees. And so maybe if you're here today and you were that good kid that kept his nose clean or her nose clean, you need to realize this, that there is still sin that needs to be dealt with, still sin that you need to forsake, still sin that you need to say, this is filthy in the eyes of God, and say, God, I turn from it. I turn to you, and I don't want it in my life anymore. And when we turn to Christ, a beautiful thing is we find this cleansing that God does in us from the inside out. He changes us. And so we all ought to be desiring change, no matter who we are. Even as believers, we still need to continually want to change. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? There's many facets of this, and we'll try to cover some of this in the weeks to come. But one area I want to stress today is the area of security. When we say that we're in Christ, we need to understand that we have a secure position in Him. We're secure in Him. There are many, many scriptures that teach this, but let's look at a couple today. The first one comes from John chapter 10. Verses 27 through 29. And now we'll open our Bible. That would be good. And then we'll get it. John 10, 27 to 29 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." This is Jesus talking. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Jesus here calls his followers sheep. And so as sheep, we understand that we have a good shepherd and we listen to his voice. And so if you are in Christ today, you need to know this, that you are a sheep. And once a sheep, always a sheep. Jesus, you know, doesn't call us a sheep today, and then if we happen to mess up, he doesn't say, you know what, sorry, now you're a goat. Thank God he doesn't do that. Once a sheep, always a sheep. That doesn't mean that we're always perfectly obedient sheep. It doesn't mean that we never stray and we never wander at times from God. But as a sheep, we know this. We know the good shepherd's voice. And so when Jesus says, hey, Carl, don't go that way. Don't go down that path. We hear his voice. We know it's Jesus saying, don't do that. Or, hey, come this way. I want you to follow this way. We're in tune to the shepherd's voice. We know that it's Christ. We know that it's from his word. We recognize the good shepherd's voice. That's what it means to be a sheep. And again, once a sheep, always a sheep. I know I've shared this in the past, but as a teenager, I really struggled with understanding this truth that I was secure in Christ. Now, I had believed in Jesus, but I really wrestled with him holding on to me and never letting go of me. My mentality was this, you know, if I happen to slip up and sin, he could just kind of say, sorry, Eric, our relationship is done. It's all over. And I lived with kind of this fear that he would abandon me or he rejected me if I didn't walk a real tight line. I had to keep this kind of moral standard, and if I slipped a notch, then he could say, sorry, you're out, we're done. I think many Christians today may even live with that fear that if they just slip up, God's going to abandon them. And a main reason why I thought that way was simply because I didn't know enough of the Word of God. I hadn't read the Word of God. This was just my thoughts that I had. And so as I began to read the Word, there were passages like John 10 that we just read, where Jesus said, hey, no one can snatch you out of my hand. That was great comfort to me. Another great passage comes from Romans chapter 8, a passage I love, a chapter I love, and I'd encourage you to read that whole chapter today. And I know we've looked at this verse many times over the years, but it is such a critical verse or passage for us to hide in our hearts, because the devil loves to plant seeds of doubt into our hearts and minds. That somehow we can be lost, or we're not secure in Christ. And this is a great scripture to meditate upon. Again, Romans 8, 35 through 39 says this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen to that? And so as we begin this new series about our identity in Christ, may we keep this foundational truth in mind, that we are secure in Christ, that he will never let us go, that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. That once we're his child, we're always his child. He will never orphan us, he says in John 14. Once a sheep, always a sheep. Well, as I said earlier, many of us as Christians can have an identity crisis. Why is that? Well, because often we find our identity in things outside of Christ. And there are many things that may pull us there. And I want to cover some of these things in the weeks to come. But today, the main area I want to focus on is this. We tend to find our identity in what we do. We tend to find our identity in what we do. And that could be our job or our place of employment or even just the things we do in life. We tend to find our identity in that. Now, in one sense, it's very natural to think this way because some professions are kind of linked to the individual. And I think of, for an example, a policeman. If you know any cops, when you see them at the ball game, even when they're not in uniform, what do you usually think about? He's a cop, right? I mean, there's a close identity to that person because, you know, that's what he does, and there's a close link there. Same with being a pastor. You know, I could be 200 miles from here, and someone may recognize me, and guess what they're going to say? They're probably not going to say, hey, Eric. They're probably, hey, Pastor Eric. There's just a link to that. But here's what I'm getting at. If say, as a pastor, if my whole identity is wrapped up in being a pastor rather than being in Christ, then I'm having an identity crisis is what's going on in my life. Why is that? Well, I need to put my identity in Christ, my position in Christ, who I am in Jesus, way above being a pastor. Now that certainly flows out of that, but it needs to be that way. Priorities need to be in line. Being in Christ needs to be preeminent in my life and in your life too. And everything else is secondary. Well, how about you? Is your identity solely in what you do? You know, as a culture, we put a lot of emphasis on what we do, don't we? I mean, when you meet people for the first time, after you talk about the weather and the sun or the rain or whatever it's doing that day, maybe a little bit about sports, usually the second or third question is this: so what do you do? Right? That's usually a question. What do you do? A couple months ago, Jeremiah had an end of the season baseball picnic. And so the coach hosted it at his home. And so I got to talk with a couple of the coaches, and sadly, I hadn't conversed with them too much during the season other than, you know, good job, coach, or when's the next practice? That was about as far as our conversation went. But at the picnic, we had time to relax and just sit around the table, and we could converse. So I got to ask the golden question, right? So what do you do? And found out that the head coach was an engineer over at GM. And the other coach, he had just retired as a cop from Niagara County, the sheriff's office there. So I got to learn about them. And certainly that's a good thing, you know, to ask people what they do. It's good to be friendly, and we can actually get to know people that way. But again, is our identity solely wrapped up in that? It's good to know someone's background, but here's the deal. Our culture will often place a different value or importance upon people based on what they do. So that if they're maybe a lawyer or a doctor or a CEO, we may think, well, they're way up here. And, you know, the guy who maybe works at McDonald's or you know, collects garbage, they're down here. Our culture can do that. And so if you happen to be a doctor or a lawyer or a CEO, guess what can happen? You can walk around kind of proud as a peacock, thinking you're the best thing since sliced bread because this is your position in life. You identify so much with that position and what you do that it goes to your head, so to speak. You become proud. And vice versa, if maybe you're the garbage man and our culture looks down on that position, you may be depressed because that's what you, quote, do in life. And so again, our identity can be wrapped up in what we do. And so as believers, we need to be convinced of this. Say this to yourself: my identity is not found in what I do. That's not where my identity should be rooted. It's not in that. My identity is in Christ, first and foremost. So the next time someone asks you, hey, what do you do? You can say, well, I'm a servant of Jesus. You know, Jesus is my king. He's the one I'm working for. Oh, yeah, and I also, on the side, I'm a salesman, or maybe I'm a machinist, or I'm a carpenter, or I'm a, you name it. Do you see Christ and your identity in him as top? And then everything else is secondary. What you do is secondary. And just a word to the moms, those who may be stay-at-home moms. Our culture, I say some of our culture, not all of our culture, but much of our culture can sometimes frown upon that. You know, if you're not a career woman, then you're maybe not as important to our society. But let me just say to you from the Word of God, that is a huge, important role that God has put you in. It's a vital role. Don't ever minimize that role of being a mom and the importance of that. But also remember this: your identity is not simply in being a mom. It's not in how many diapers you change, or, you know, how much laundry you do. Ultimately, your identity needs to be found in Christ. Not only do we need to be careful about finding our identity in the things that we do, You know, if you have a job where you work 5-6 days a week, not only is it not in that, but also when it comes to spiritual activities. You see, our identity can't be in even those things, what we might think is really honorable and good. Again, I'll take myself as an example, as a pastor. You know, as a pastor, it's important that I see myself as a servant of Christ. You see, I'm a servant of Christ. And right now, I just happen to be serving God as a pastor. You see, because there may come a day when I get old and my mind is gone and I can no longer stand behind a pulpit and do what I do now. Who knows when that day will be, but I'm thinking that it's going to be someday that's going to happen unless the Lord returns. But if my identity, again, is all wrapped up in being a pastor, what's going to happen on the day that I retire and I'm no longer in the, quote, ministry? I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be like, what's my purpose in life? Who knows what's going to happen? But if my identity is in Christ, then that will be a seamless transition. Because I'll know that I'm still a servant of God. Whatever role I have doesn't matter. I'm a servant of God. And that's how we need to see things as believers. Now, will I miss doing pastorly things? I hope I do. Probably. There'll be a part of me that will miss that. But again, I need to understand my identity in Christ. And this relates not only to pastors, but really anyone who does anything for the Lord. You may lead a youth group, Jordan, right? You may lead a Sunday school class. You may lead worship. You may lead a Bible study. All kinds of things. You may just serve in some capacity here in the church. You may have a title or a position within the church. But again, you can't let that be your identity. If your identity is in what you do, you may find that pride can creep in. You may find yourself comparing yourself with others and noting that you do more than Bill or Sally does within the church. And while we should never be idle, we need to know that we can become like the Pharisees of old. Do you know that every one of us in this room have a tendency to be like that Pharisee simply because we're, quote, religious? Listen to what Jesus once said about, gave a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector, a very famous parable. This will be our final scripture for today, Luke 18, 9 through 14. Jesus said to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And while the main point of this parable is really about how to be made right with God, it takes humility. The first step in coming to Christ is just humbling yourself, removing all the religious pride. This is really the main point of the parable. There is another lesson. And the lesson of the parable also is this, is that we can get caught up in spiritual pride based upon the things that we do. Did you notice what the Pharisee said? Not only did he not do certain things, I refrain from those blatant sins, but then he began to boast about the things that he did. I give this much. I sacrifice this much. And because he did these things, his identity was in what he did. He was a proud man that needed to learn humility. He needed to learn the ways of Christ. And so he did not find his joy and his security in Christ. So where are we at today? As we close, first off, are you in Christ? Can you say with certainty that I know that I know that I know that I belong to Jesus? Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he bore my sins. They're paid. It's been paid in full. The debt that I owe, it's been paid by Christ. And the wretch that I am, he made me clean. I was once blind, but now I see. His grace has saved me. There's been a change in my life. Can you say there's been a change in your life? No change, no Christ. And if you are in Christ, can you honestly say this, that my hope, my joy, and my life is found in Christ. It's not in what I do. It's not in what others think of me. My identity is completely wrapped up in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for the purpose that you give each of us who know Jesus. Father, forgive us for trying to find our identity in things outside of Christ. For when we do, it leads to joylessness and hopelessness and all those things that we just don't need in our lives. So Lord, help us. Help us to be people who find that our lives are hidden in Christ. Lord, I pray that you would just reveal more and more of your truth and your ways to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.